content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Heard Any Good Books Lately, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. This program is brought to you by the Friends of the North Carolina Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped, an organization of citizens, volunteers, and patrons all interested in supporting the library and the services it provides. Now, the Friends Group was founded in 1989 and now has more than 300 members across North Carolina. If you would like to join the Friends Group yourself, we'll have information on how to do that later in this program. Well, I haven't presented a brand new program to you for a few months now because of the coronavirus pandemic that we're all caught up in right now. Studios here at the North Carolina Reading Service were closed for a while, but of course the broadcast has continued 24 hours per day through this time, and well, we're getting back to something near normal. I hope that listening to this reading service continues to provide you with entertainment, information, joy, and hope, and maybe a little bit of company as well. Please know that we have been keeping you in our thoughts and prayers and sincerely hope that you are staying safe. This program is all about books with special emphasis on those available from the North Carolina Library for the Blind. The library has more than 86,000 titles in its collection. Books and magazines are available in large print, braille, and talking books as well. The library has more than 11,000 patrons across the state. And if you're not a patron but are interested in becoming one, I'll have more information at the end of this program. This month, we will take a look at some of the most popular books checked out within the past month or so at the North Carolina Library for the Blind. We're going to begin the program here with one of the most popular authors that we have at the North Carolina Library for the Blind. Every month there's at least one of his books. Of course, I'm talking about James Patterson, who wrote this particular book with a fellow named James Oborn. And the book is called Blindside. Now, here's the plot. NYPD Detective Michael Bennett is one of James Patterson's more unlikely yet most realistic creations. He is a widower with 10 adopted children who is raising with the assistance of Mary Catherine, an Irish nanny with whom he has fallen in love and become engaged over the course of this series, and his grandfather, who is a Catholic priest. The newly published Blindside, it just came out within the last few months, is the 12th book in the series and the third that Patterson has written with best-selling author and Emmy Award-winning screenwriter James Oborn. It is a wild ride from start to finish. Blindside is full of surprises. It begins with an intense vignette in which Bennett is called to the scene of a particularly violent double homicide in the Bronx. Now, he takes it upon himself to notify the victim's survivors, who live just a couple of blocks away. On the way back to the crime scene, he stops at a bodega to buy a Gatorade and suddenly finds himself on the wrong end of an armed robbery. Well, when the smoke clears, Bennett is standing at the would-be robber, is rapidly assuming room temperature. The usual suspects, including the media, community activists, and Al Sharpton, doppelganger, immediately accused Bennett of murdering the robber in cold blood. As per policy in an officer-involved shooting, he is relieved of his duties. It is immediately clear from security footage that the shooting was justified, but the timing is bad. In order to keep the rabble from accusing the NYPD of a rush to judgment in exonerating Bennett, he officially stays off the job while being given an off-the-books assignment by Alfred Hanna, the mayor of New York. Natalie London, the mayor's estranged daughter, has gone missing. A computer code prodigy, Natalie was once a promising student at MIT, but went off the rails to the extent that she has not even been in touch with her mother. Hannah is convinced that Bennett can find Natalie and dangles an intriguing quid pro quo in front of him that is impossible to refuse. Well, Bennett begins by questioning Natalie's friends and associates. He learns that while no one seems to know where Natalie is, she apparently had been working as a cyber hacker for a brilliant but unstable criminal known as Henry, who has been extorting millions of dollars from online companies. And this information puts Bennett on a trajectory that intersects with two teams of Henry's assassins who have come to New York at cross purposes and involve Bennett in the first of several violent confrontations that occur throughout this book. Now, Bennett concludes that Natalie is no longer in New York and is instead in Henry's native Estonia. He is highly motivated to find her and travels there on his own, winging it without official backup, though he is not without allies, grudging and otherwise. However, it isn't long before the surprising twists and turns begin, making it doubtful that he will bring Natalie home to her parents. Will he even be able to make it back alive? Now, these comments were from a review by Joe Hartlaw that was written on February 28, 2020. And once again, that book was called Blindside by James Patterson and James O'Born. Now we actually have another book that was very popular in the last month by the same duo, James Patterson and James O'Born. This one is called Lost, and I'll have a short summary of this one so you get a gist of it, but it sounds like a pretty good one too. Detective Tom Moon and his multi-talented team face off against an international crime ring looking to seize control of America's most vibrant city, Miami. Now, the city of Miami is Detective Tom Moon's backyard. He's always kept it local, attending University of Miami on a football scholarship, and as a Miami Police Department officer, protecting the city's most vulnerable. Now, as the new leader of an FBI task force called Operation Guardian, it's his mission to combat international crime. Moon's investigative team discovers that the opportunistic Blood Brothers, Russian nationals Roman and Emil Rostov, have evaded authorities while building a vast, powerful, and deadly crime syndicate throughout Europe and metropolitan Miami, too. Moon played offense for the University of Miami, but he's on the other side of the field this time. And as the Rostovs zero in on a target dear to Tom, they're not playing by anyone's rules. Again, that book is called very simply Lost, and it was written by James Patterson and James O'Born. Now, another book that I think you'll like, it's called The Museum of Desire, and it was written by Jonathan Kellerman. The Alex Delaware books by Jonathan Kellerman have been a longtime favorite of Joe Hartlaub, who is, again, the reviewer on this one. There's a dependable line of familiarity that connects the individual novels in this series, namely the odd couple friendship between Alex, who is a child psychologist, and LAPD Lieutenant Milo Sturgis. I look forward to the scene in each book where Milo, a bear of a man in stature, comes into Alex's home and paws through his refrigerator while a bemused Alex looks on. Well, it's easy to forget that in When the Bow Breaks, the opening installment of this particular series, Alex was burned out and in retirement until Milo brought him back to the land of the living by asking him for assistance with an especially difficult case. The Los Angeles landscape, so wonderfully described in each of these books, has provided several challenging cases since then. 2020's entry is entitled The Museum of Desire, and it gives us yet another of the difficults, as well as some of Kellerman's best writing to date, says Hartlaub. No surprise there. It also features one of his most memorable mysteries in a series full of them. The Museum of Desire begins at a vacant mansion that has been rented out for a party for a large group of spoiled high school swells. A member of the cleaning crew, tasked with restoring order to the after-gathering mess, stumbles onto a horrifying tableau. It consists of a Rolls Royce that has been left on the premises and contains a mismatched quartet of corpses, bizarrely staged within each, with blood pouring all over their lower bodies. But there's no apparent connection among the four people aside from being murder victims. Milo is relentless in his investigation, well aware of his obligation to speak for the dead in the sense of bringing the instrument of their premature demise to justice. Well, Alex, as he frequently, though not always, does, takes a very active role in his assistance to Milo in the Museum of Desire, a title that is particularly appropriate given the manner of death of the victims and their collective display. It is Alex who provides a couple of significant breaks in this case, one through good old-fashioned surveillance, and the other by functioning as a conduit for some information provided from an unlikely source. Accordingly, the investigation moves into a couple of unexpected directions, leading to a denouement against a surprising backdrop that will leave readers shocked and perhaps well amused. Again, this book is called The Museum of Desire, and the author is Jonathan Kellerman. Now let's move on to another book. It's called Hindsight by Iris Johansson and Roy Johansson. Investigator Kendra Michaels, whose former blindness has left her with uniquely insightful observational skills, must put her life on the line to catch a terrifying murderer, setting his sights on some of society's most vulnerable. In this electrifying new novel from the number one New York Times and Edgar Award-winning writing duo, Iris and Roy Johansson. Now, here's the plot for Hindsight. Dr. Kendra Michaels, blind for the first 20 years of her life before gaining her sight via a revolutionary surgical procedure, is a renowned investigator known for her razor-sharp senses, honed during her years in the dark, and keen deductive abilities. Well, now her skills are needed uncomfortably close to home. Two staff members have been murdered at a school for the blind where Kendra spent her formative years. But the murders are puzzlingly dissimilar. One victim was brutally stabbed while the other was killed by a bullet to the head. Are the crimes related, or is Kendra on the hunt for more than one dangerous killer? With the killer or killers still on the loose, Kendra must put her life on the line to unravel a terrifying conspiracy. But Kendra soon discovers that she herself may hold the key to the deadliest secret of all. Again, that book is called Hindsight, and it's by Iris Johansson and Roy Johansson. Next, a book by another duo, Crooked River by Douglas J. Preston and Lincoln Child, both very popular writers in their own right, appearing out of nowhere to horrify the quiet resort town of Sanibel Island, Florida. Dozens of identical, ordinary-looking shoes float in on the tide and are washed up on the tropical beach, each one with a crudely severed human foot inside. In short order, Agent Pendergast finds himself facing the most complex and inexplicable challenge of his career, a tangled thread of evidence that spans seas and traverses continents, connected to one of the most baffling mysteries in modern medical science. Through shocking twists and turns, all trails lead back to a powerful adversary with a sadistic agenda and who, in a cruel irony, ultimately sees in Pendergast the ideal subject for their malevolent research. Again, that book is called Crooked River, and it's by Douglas J. Preston and Lincoln Child. Now, here's another one that was very popular in the last month or so at the library, The Starter Wife, it's called, and it's by Nina Loren. And this is from the best-selling author of Girl Last Seen, comes a spine-tingling book of a psychological suspense, perfect for fans of Lisa Jewell and Jessica Knowle. Local police have announced that they're closing the investigation of the suspected drowning of a 37-year-old painter, Colleen Westcott. Well, she disappeared on April 11, 2010, and her car was found parked near the waterfront in Cleveland 2 days later. But her body has never been found. The chief of police has stated that no concrete evidence of foul play has been discovered in this probe. I close the online search window, annoyed. These articles never have enough detail. They think my husband's first wife disappeared, or they think she is dead. There's a big difference. My phone rings, jarring me away from my thoughts, and when I pick it up, it's an unknown number. The only answer to my slightly breathless hello is empty static. When the voice does finally come, it's female, low, muffled somehow. Where is it, Claire? What did you do with it? Tell me where it is. A woman, a real flesh and blood woman on the other end of the phone. She's not just in my head. A wave of panic spreads under my skin like ice water. It's Colleen. Well, Nina Loren knows how to ratchet up the suspense, according to Publishers Weekly, and I think you'll find that as well. I think you'll enjoy this one. It's called The Starter Wife, and it's by author Nina Loren. And you're listening to Heard Any Good Books Lately? An exclusive production of the North Carolina Reading Service. Thanks for joining me today. I'm George Douglas. Hope you're enjoying the program so far. Now we're going to take a look at another book, this one by very popular author Michael Conley, and it's a pretty new one, I think. This one is called Suicide Run, Three Harry Bosch Stories by Michael Conley. LAPD Detective Harry Bosch, as we've never seen him before, in three never-before-collected stories. In Suicide Run, the first one, the apparent suicide of a beautiful young starlet turns out to be much more sinister than it seems. In Cielo Azul, Bosch is haunted by a long-ago closed case, the murder of a teenage girl who was never identified. As her killer sits on death row, Bosch tries one last time to get the answers he has sought for years. And finally, in the third story, in $1 Jackpot, Bosch works the murder of a professional poker player whose skills have made her more than one enemy. Well, whether investigating a cold case or fresh blood, Bosch relentlessly pursues his quarry, always on the lookout for the tell. In this first collection of Harry Bosch stories, Michael Conley once again demonstrates that he is the master of fast-paced, brilliantly plotted crime fiction. Harry Bosch is back on the case, and not a moment too soon, says the Chicago Sun-Times. That sounds like a good one that I think you will enjoy. Once again, it's called Suicide Run, Three Harry Bosch Stories by Michael Conley. Kind of nice to have three different stories that you can read or listen to, fairly quickly and enjoy them. And they're all a little bit different, but with that same great character that's become so popular. Now let's move on to a book called A Small Town by Thomas Perry. Thomas Perry is firmly ensconced on my must-read list, says Joe Hartlob, who is the reviewer for this one. He is within hailing distance of compelling his fourth decade of writing solid and memorable crime and suspense novels, each of which are sterling examples of how the job gets done. Somehow he finds something new to write about on an annual basis, and at the close of 2019 has presented us with A Small Town, a satisfying novel of the manifestation of evil deeds and resultant revenge. The book opens a couple of years in the story's past in the small town of Weldonville, Colorado. Now, Weldonville is a quiet municipality full of friendly, down-to-earth people. Its dubious claim to fame, though, is the local penitentiary, which over time has become the stopping place for a long-term and violent offender. Everything changes on the night when a group of inmates initiates a long-planned escape, throwing open the gates of the prison behind them. The plotters go through Weldonville, spreading destruction, terror, and death in their wake before vanishing into the night. The prisoners who follow behind them are either dispatched or captured by law enforcement, but the damage to the town and its citizens has been done. 2 years later, Leah Hawkins, the lieutenant in the town's shrinking police force, takes an approved leave of absence for the clandestine purpose of hunting down the convicts responsible for the escape. It is here where Perry shows the true craftsmanship and genius for which he deservedly has become known over the course of his writing career. A lesser writer could have made plenty of hay simply by having Leah display good investigative work and track down the doers, one by one, across the country. Indeed, she does this at first. What occurs, though, is that the other members of the crew become aware that someone is looking for them. They decide to take steps to do something about it, which results in things going off in a couple of different and unexpected directions. There are minor and major twists and turns throughout the story, some of which you may see coming and others of which you will never predict, including a satisfying ending that resolves everything. However, says the reviewer, A Small Town should not be mistaken for one of Perry's best books. He stretches things just a bit more than usual. Leah is the beneficiary of good luck on a few too many occasions. There's no one around when she breaks into a house, and the bad guys apparently go deaf at a crucial moment, to name but two things. Well, to let readers tiptoe past without cause. That said, this is a solid tale of revenge, one in which the victims get their retaliation late and use an instrument, Leah, who, fortune notwithstanding, is a thoroughly believable heroine. She knows her weaknesses and thus is able to strategically capitalize on her considerable skill set. Don't let the late date of this book's release in 2019 keep you from placing it at the top of your reading list for 2020. And that was a review done in January by Joe Hartlob. And once again, the name of that book, excuse me, and it sounds like a really suspenseful book, is A Small Town by Thomas Perry. Now let's move on to a book by the author Taryn Fisher. This one is called The Wives. New York Times best-selling author Taryn Fisher delivers a pulse-pounding, fast-paced suspense novel that will leave you breathless, a thriller that, well, you just won't be able to put down. Here's the plot. Thursday's husband, Seth, has two other wives. She's never met them, and she doesn't know anything about them. She agreed to this unusual arrangement because she's so crazy about him. Again, her name is Thursday, you heard me correctly. But one day, she finds something, something that tells a very different and horrifying story about the man that she married. What follows is one of the most twisted and shocking thrillers that you'll ever read, and you'll have to grab a copy in order to find out why. That is, once again, the book called The Wives, and it's by Taryn Fisher. That's spelled T-A-R-R-Y-N, Taryn Fisher, and it sounds like a good one. Now let's talk about a book called Long Range by C.J. Box. Long range is an impressive mile marker by any standard. In an era when it's sometimes difficult to find someone who has read 20 books over the course of an adult lifetime, Box has written that many, involving the Wyoming Game Warden, as well as a number of other worthy novels, and created a literary icon in the process, one who is a contemporary Western everyman. It's an admirable feat, and this latest entry in the series contains some of his best writing and plotting to date. The book begins with a minute account of what occurs during the few seconds between the firing of a projectile from a long-range rifle and the moment of impact. The bullet strikes and seriously injures a woman who is in her kitchen preparing dinner. As is clear to the reader immediately, and to those in long range in due course, the victim, Sue Hewitt, was not the intended target. It was her husband, a saddle string. Wyoming judge with a mercurial temper, who is extremely unpopular with prosecutors, defense attorneys, law enforcement, defenders, and everyone in between. So the number of potential suspects appears to be limitless. Well, when the shooting occurs, Joe Pickett is hundreds of miles away, involved in the investigation of a hunting guide who was killed by a grizzly bear under suspicious circumstances. However, he is summoned back home by Judge Hewitt to aid Brendan Capello, the newly elected county sheriff, in his investigation. Capello is afflicted with an extreme case of generalized confirmation bias, which impedes his ability to successfully lead the investigative team. So when Joe is able to prove that Sue was shot by a long-distance sniper, he earns Capello's enmity in spades. Meanwhile, Joe's good friend, Nate Romanowski, is attempting to adjust to a dramatic lifestyle change as he lives on the grid rather than off, with the responsibility of a wife and an infant daughter. He assists Joe in the investigation while being unaware that he has been targeted for revenge by members of the Sinaloa drug cartel. Joe's outside problems are relatively minor, though not unimportant. He and his wife Mary Beth are dealing with the prospect of being empty nesters for the first time, which may change by the end of this installment if they or anyone else are able to make it to the end of the book. Not everyone does in this fast-moving tale, which combines Box's unique characterization with a couple of puzzling but plausible mysteries that keep readers and our protagonist guessing almost to the last page. That review was by Joe Hartlob in March of this year. It's a brand new book, and it's called Long Range by C.J. Box. Sounds like another good one. And that is just about all the time we have for this month's edition of Heard Any Good Books Lately? I'm George Douglas. I hope you enjoyed it. If you'd like more information about how to become a patron of the North Carolina Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped, simply Google or search for North Carolina Library for the Blind, or you can call toll-free at 1-888-388-2460. That's 888-388-2460. You can also use the same numbers and website to join the Friends of the North Carolina Library of the Blind and Physically Handicapped. It's that wonderful organization that sponsors this program and every month, and so I think you'll really enjoy becoming a member. This program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Heard Any Good Books Lately will be available right after the broadcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. So long until next time.